Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. We are presented by Geico. Field Yates, Matthew Berry back. Good morning to you, my friend.
Thank you, brother. Feel good.
Yeah.
Feel good. I'm energized. I'm excited. You know, it's interesting.
What's that?
So we just
a lot of things.
I'll tell you what's interesting.
Okay.
So, so Fantasy Focus Live. So anyone that watches to that would like to do this, you're probably listening to this wherever you get your podcast, but we do it live every day.
Okay.
We do it in front of cameras, right? And you can watch us on ESPN's YouTube channel, on the ESPN app, on the ESPN Fantasy app, on ESPN Fantasy's Facebook page, and on the Twitter, at Fantasy Focus.
Right.
And so at Fantasy Focus just tweeted out, and I retweeted it, and I didn't notice it, but it says, we are live with at Field Yates.
Okay.
You get top billing. Interesting. Not a choice I would have made, but all right, fair enough.
Who would you have put?
Me, obviously. I would have put me first.
Just
if I was doing
sure
it, I would have
I
put
had
myself
misunderstood
first.
Correctly.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, not like, yeah, like if I'm not going to vouch for myself, who is? Right? If I'm not going to carp for myself, like, yeah,
yeah.
No, listen,
not any of us.
Listen, you know,
yeah.
I got to do what I got to do. Anyway, but so at Field Yates, at Matthew Berry TMR, at Stefania underscore ESPN, at Daniel Dopp, at Kyle Soppy ESPN, Thirsty Kyle gets in the tweet.
He should get in the tweet.
I'm just saying, it's just interesting. He has never been in the tweet before, as far as I know.
Oh, you're paying
Thirsty
very close
Kyle.
Attention to not only
saying,
the order,
Thirsty
but also
Kyle.
Who's
Thirsty,
mentioned.
Thirsty Kyle, you know, everyone like, says, oh, where's the Thirsty Kyle nickname come from? And because when he started with the show, he was thirsty for airtime.
Mm, he wants
and
some clout.
He's managed to weasel his way into a daily trivia segment.
Right.
But now he's thirsty for social media love.
Ooh,
now
interesting.
That's, so it's double Thirsty Kyle.
If I were you, and it's not my decision.
Kyle's not in front of a microphone at the moment.
Right.
So
it's not my decision to make. I think Twitter is a very personal platform. But
yes,
if I were on the Twitter and I was not already following at Kyle Soppy ESPN, and that's S-O-P-P-E.
Correct.
I would make that correction right now.
100%. He's
informative,
great.
Entertaining, very much worth your Twitter follow, if I say so myself.
He's terrific. He tweets a little bit too much about baseball for my liking.
Wow.
But, you know.
He's trying to be a company man.
Other than that, he is a company man.
That's extraordinaire researcher for the very popular 06010 MLB podcast.
He does a great job for us here at ESPN. Mm-hmm. He's incredibly invaluable. He works his tail off.
Yes.
But he's thirsty for some love. So, you know, listen, America, quench his thirst.
Yeah, that's right.
Give the kid a follow at Kyle Soppy ESPN. Again, as you said, S-O-P-P-E. I know who does follow him on Twitter. Stefania Bell.
That's right. Hello, Stefania Bell as well. She is here today, and we've got lots of questions for Stefania coming up in just a minute. We're going to play a little bit of retroactive news or noise because there was a story that we want to make sure we get your opinion on. But first, we play the drop.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
News or noise.
Loud noises!
For those that are only listening on the audio version, we don't want you to think that Stefania was being rude. She did wave there. You just couldn't see it, obviously. So Stefania very kindly waved. She's not
didn't actually say anything for our audio.
She's not trying to ignore you and I for the moment. She will shortly, she has plenty in her life, but she is not currently trying to ignore us. Daniel, I pass this over to you, as I know you are the conductor of the News or Noise stream.
I appreciate that, Field. Matthew, I'm going to start with you.
What do you got?
Leonard Fournette released yesterday. News or noise?
Yeah, it's probably noise.
Yeah,
I don't think it's real.
Not news.
It's obviously news, except for anyone that's been listening to us all offseason, in which case you're just like, duh. He was on the hate list. We did our sleepers, busts, and breakout column. Stefania and I both listed Leonard Fournette as our bust. We had to change it yesterday. We didn't expect to have to change it because they were...
he's already busted. So technically, you were right. He's already busted.
He's already busted. So we both, Stefania and I, had to submit other selections. Yes, it's obvious news. So there's two pieces of it. There's the Fournette piece of it, and then there's Jacksonville's piece of it. Let's start with the Jacksonville piece of it. And, you know, my belief here is that one of these guys will emerge. I just don't know who. So there's sort of four running backs there that are in the mix, right?
Okay.
And so Rykel Armstead is the guy that most people have heard of, I think, in terms of for an early down role.
Okay.
Then you've got, and maybe you can help me, Divine.
Ozigbo.
Thank you very much.
Nebraska, the standard.
Yep. Had a cup of coffee with the Saints as well, but has been getting some positive buzz in camp with the Jaguars because Rykel Armstead was out for a little bit. And James Robinson, you're hearing positive buzz about James Robinson, that they like him. Obviously, in the offseason, they also signed Chris Thompson, the pass-catching running back that played with Jay Gruden in Washington. My belief is that it will be a bit of a running back by committee, that Chris Thompson is probably the best value for PPR leagues because I think this is a team that's going to be throwing a lot and be down. And so I think Chris Thompson is locked into 8 to 12 touches a game in a pass-heavy offense. Now, he has struggled with health throughout his career, but he's somebody that's, you know, been reasonably efficient when he can be on the field. I currently have them ranked Armstead, Ozigbo, and Robinson in that order, but that could certainly change as more news comes out of Jacksonville. And the reason I have him there is just Armstead's been there the longest.
But okay, so did you have a separate category for Chris Thompson?
No, sorry. I'm just saying of those three guys that are likely for the early down role.
Gotcha.
That's how I have those guys. Okay. That's how I have those guys ranked. I believe I have Armstead and Thompson pretty close to each other.
As of right now, and I'm just reading the sheet here, you have Armstead at 36 and Thompson at 46. So you're 10 slots apart. I actually have them reversed. I'm just counting on the passing game usage for Chris Thompson that I'm just not totally convinced on Rykel Armstead.
I think that's fair, by the way. And I probably need to hire raise Chris Thompson up a little bit. I'm basically, the concern is, can he play all 16 games?
No.
So Daniel says absolutely no. Daniel has a crystal ball. Daniel says absolutely not.
Right. I'm looking at like historical data to say, like, I love Chris Thompson.
Yeah, sure.
And he was fantastic when he's on the field and he's healthy. He's a great pass catching back.
Yeah.
I just don't think that we can count on him. You can't say I can go into this season counting on 16 full games.
Right.
Chris Thompson.
And I hate to borrow a Matthew moniker, but that's baked into the ADP.
Yes,
right? That's
100%.
You know, like where you're drafting Chris Thompson, where you're going to draft him is not going to be for a player that you need from week 1 to week 17. It's going to be a player that you need either on spot duty basis or a player that gets hot early and you're like, oh, wow, Chris Thompson if he gets hurt is very valuable to me.
Yeah, I mean, I get the counter there is that Chris Thompson had one great year where he had a lot of long runs. He had one great year fantasy-wise, but otherwise he's James White. He's Theo Riddick. He's a very nice pass-catching running back.
James White would be great. 100%,
which is completely useful. But again, just as I've talked about this a lot, in terms of how I construct my fantasy roster, if I'm in a 10 or 12-team league, Chris Thompson is best-case scenario for Chris Thompson, most likely, is he plays all 16 games, and he's like, he's Tariq Cohen, he's James White. He's a nice flex play for you week in, week out. He's a guy you can count on for 8 to 12 points, and you hope he wanders into the end zone, you know, 5 or 6 times over the course of the year. But Rykel Armstead, what you're hoping is that one of these guys emerges and potentially is what Leonard Fournette was,
right?
The lead running back, a guy that,
yeah.
And I understand you're saying you don't think that's going to happen.
Correct. That was what Mike and I established yesterday, is
fair.
That you may think that, but you know, it's not reflected in your rankings at all, right? I mean,
no, I'm not saying I think that, but I'm just saying in terms of why do I have Chris Thompson lower than you, for example? The argument is that I think there's a lack of upside there. I think he probably finishes the year with the most fantasy points of any Jaguars running back if he plays all 16 games.
A little bit of a philosophy and a ranking thing.
Right, exactly. But like, I'm going to take the J.K. Dobbins of the world in that area, you know, because again, he may be useless for much of the season, but then there'll be 3 weeks where he's awesome. Right.
Understood. Let's move along
like
here.
Latavius Murray's in the world. Same
what do you got, Daniel, for the next one? News or noise?
All right. The Athletic's Dan Duggan said,
can we talk about just one last thing here? Sorry to interrupt, but like Fournette, if you have drafted Fournette, if you ignored my love-hate list, if you drafted Fournette, if you ignored the sleepers busts column.
Yeah, you're SOL.
Right. Well, no, I don't think you are necessarily. I would not
probably
drop
burned
him.
A fifth-round pick.
Well, you absolutely did, but my point is that I believe Leonard Fournette likely get signed by an NFL team at some point.
Yeah, correct. But the reality is that there was one spot that would have given Leonard Fournette the value that, as I said yesterday, I'm owning up to this, I thought there was a chance he could have represented the value based off how far he fell because Jacksonville offered him that one opportunity. Anywhere he goes besides Jacksonville, he does not have a clear-cut role like he did with the Jaguars.
He does not. Wherever he goes will likely be a step down. And it's one of the reasons why I had him on the hate list. But I'm just saying is that I wouldn't drop him. Like if I've already done a draft,
yeah.
Like you'll get something out of Leonard Fournette. But yes, you blew the pick. Yeah, it is what it is. But I'm just saying I wouldn't drop him just yet. And I wouldn't like try to trade. I wouldn't, and I also wouldn't try to, if you can pick one up, fine, but I'm also not trying to trade. Like, I had a friend text me yesterday saying, should I, I'm being offered Rykel Armstead for Jarvis Landry. And I said, absolutely not. Do not do that deal.
Right. Was
not
this like trade Clayton Jarvis Kershaw, Landry. Zach Efron, who's?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Somebody you know. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Somebody I know. Interesting.
I'll tell you
all right,
off
I know
mic.
A lot of people.
I'll tell you off mic.
Dwight Schrute it was who texted Matthew. All right, Daniel, let's keep this rolling. We got to keep going. And we got a few coming up for Stefania with some injury-related content.
Yeah, this one comes from The Athletic's Dan Duggan says that Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard has dominated opposing cornerbacks in training camp, establishing himself as the clear-cut number one wide receiver in that offense. I want to start with Stefania. Golden Tate suffered a lower body injury at practice yesterday, Stefania. Is that something that we should be worried about long-term? And then we'll pivot ahead to the Sterling Shepard conversation.
These are the really hard times in training camp where you don't get any information because teams don't really have to disclose what is going on. So you're trying to string together bits and pieces to help you decide whether it's something that's news or noise. Here's what happened. Apparently, Golden Tate went down awkwardly when he was trying to catch a deep ball in practice, and he left practice entirely. So it only just happened. We don't know if he's going to miss practice going forward. I will say this on his behalf. Of all the pass catchers in New York, he may be perhaps the most durable. He's played all 16 games in five different seasons. And last year, even though he missed four at the beginning, that was due to a suspension, only missed one game. So hopefully not a big deal, but stay tuned, obviously.
All right, Matthew, you think it's news or noise?
Which piece, the Golden Tate injury piece or the Sterling Shepard piece?
You know what? I'm going to pass that off to the News or Noise arbitrator, Daniel Dopp.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I wanted the Golden Tate information for you guys to then be able to talk about whether or not you think Sterling Shepard is the clear-cut number one in this offense and what that means as far as fantasy value going into drafts.
I believe that is news. Shepard's current ADP is wide receiver 40.
Yeah, great value.
Unbelievable value. Like, you know I like Daniel Jones. You know I like this passing offense. And some people will note that, like, Golden Tate actually got the most targets from Daniel Jones when they played together. But again, that offense didn't look like what it's going to look like this year. They none of them played together. Like, you know, Shepard was banged up, or Evan Ingram was banged up, Barkley was banged up for a little while as well. I mean, like, so I think Sterling Shepard is not only the best wide receiver on that team. Golden Tate's a very good, you know, professional NFL wide receiver, obviously, but I think he's the one that has the most fantasy value and upside. Darius Slayton, very big play dependent, at least he was last year, and Golden Tate is more volume dependent. I think Shepard is a guy that they'll look for in the end zone when they're not looking for Evan Ingram.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's a tremendous value and at wide receiver 40. I have him slightly higher at 37.
As Mike Clay noted yesterday during his perfect draft segment, Sterling Shepard, one of six players last year, along with Evan Ingram, who had at least six targets in every single game in which he played. So his volume was solid last year. We expect that to be the same thing this year. Daniel, what's next?
All right, so Stefania, coming back to you. No timetable for the Devontae Parker minor injury that happened yesterday in practice. News or noise on this Devontae Parker injury?
I think you have to consider it news, even though they're calling it minor, because Devontae Parker last year was the first year he played all 16 games in his five-year career. And you've got a situation there with Preston Williams coming off an ACL tear, and he'll be 10 months post when the season opens, so still a little early, and you kind of expected Devontae Parker to pick up the major workload. Brian Flores apparently not sounding too concerned, but there's the possibility that Devontae Parker misses more practice time this week, and it does create a little confusion with the wide receiver situation in Miami.
I'll take this one. I think it's news as well, only because there's a lack of clarity. We can update this in a week, and it may well prove to be noise, or it could well prove to be noise, but this is probably reflective of this weird period we're in right now where we have limited access to training camps going forward. Actually, training camps are over. We're now into the regular season. So reporters who are doing a great job diligently every day around the NFL country, or globe, I should say, they're not getting nearly the amount of information that they could when they're able to watch practice for the full 2 hours. So it's news because we don't know, and it's going to leave us somewhat uncertain going into the season. But check back next Wednesday when practice reports are due, and if Devontae Parker is there and practicing in full, then we can probably qualify it as noise.
But what should fantasy managers do if they have a draft between now and
right? I think you have to probably
practice reports come out.
I think I'm not discounting him that much, if at all. I'm probably still drafting him as if he's going to be available for 16 games or close to it.
I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm bypassing him. I'm waiting five or six rounds, and then I'm drafting Preston Williams.
Interesting. Okay.
Who, by the way, looks 100% healthy in camp. And if you look at the numbers, we did this, Daniel and I did this on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus. These are the kind of nuggets that you learn.
Right.
You also get to see Daniel naked occasionally.
Yes.
But, like, I mean,
Preston Williams,
through the
deterrent.
First eight games of last year when they were both healthy, Daniel, they had the same numbers, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he was, and not only that, I think he was wide receiver seven at that point through the NFL. So, like, he's fantastic. Like, Preston Williams, absolutely, when you look at him side by side, him and Devontae Parker were basically the same through those first seven.
But it sounds like, given that you guys already had this conversation, it sounds like then you would qualify the Devontae Parker thing as noise because your analysis is the same as it was prior to us having this Devontae Parker context.
I guess so, but it's another red flag.
Sure.
So you just, if Stefania says it's a little bit of news, then, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, sure. Like that raises the eyebrows.
And so you say the same thing about she said the same thing about, by the way, Preston Williams, you know, a little early off, only 10 months after an ACL, not concerned about that?
The reports since we've had that conversation with Stefania seem to be very glowing.
That was like 15 seconds ago that she said that.
About Preston Williams? No, she said about Devontae Parker.
Stefania, would you like to come in and repeat what you said about Preston Williams?
Yeah, let me clarify. Okay, Preston Williams does look good, Matthew. That part is correct. But
there
he's 10 months post-ACL reconstruction, and very often wide receivers and running backs struggle a little bit in their first year back. And he's not going to have had the benefit of any games or any exposure to real speed football until he gets into action in week one. So it makes it harder for us to tell. But typically the numbers are not as strong in that first year. He could get there by the second half, but I don't necessarily expect him to start out that way.
Interesting. So you think Devontae Parker has a better fantasy year than Preston Williams, Stefania?
I didn't say that.
I do. Do you?
I say...
Hold on.
Yeah. Okay, yes, I do. Okay.
Where do you have him ranked?
I have him ranked lower than Devontae Parker.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why?
Because ADP. I still have him significantly higher than ADP because my ranks reflect the marketplace, right? In terms, so I have Devontae Parker lower than...
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, it's about... Here's how I'm going into the draft. So my point is that I don't want to... If I don't have to pay a fifth-round price, even if I think a guy is going to finish as a fifth-round talent, but he's going in the 12th, so I'll rank him in the 9th. So I know I'm going to get him, but I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to have people pay a fifth-round price for somebody they can get in the 12th.
That's really interesting. I have not heard you talk about ranking players reflecting the marketplace. I thought it had always been based off your value.
My rank is because here's the thing that we've talked about before. I haven't expressed that one particular point, but what I have done is I have said that I do my ranks based on how I would draft. So the point is, like I said, like what we were talking about earlier, I think James White will finish with probably more fantasy, or Tariq Cohen. Tariq Cohen's a better example. Tariq Cohen at the end of the year will finish with more fantasy points than J.K. Dobbins, barring an injury within the next week to Mark Ingram.
Okay.
So that, like, if you were looking at some sort of accuracy rankings or whatever, like, oh, in theory, Tariq Cohen should be ranked ahead of J.K. Dobbins because he's going to score more points. But the way I construct my roster is you're sitting there looking at your wide running back 3 or 4 or 5. And so for me, I would rather the upside of J.K. Dobbins, who, if anything were to happen to Mark Ingram, could win you your league rather than a guy that's just going to be a solid flex player, because I believe I can duplicate that production easier than I can find a top 10 running back on the waiver wire if something were to happen to Mark Ingram. So the same thing with Preston Williams and Devontae Parker. I have him lower than the ADP. I'm not going to wind up with Devontae Parker in any league that I have, and I will wind up with Preston Williams in a decent amount of leagues that I have because, again, I have him significantly higher than ADP.
Okay, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just the difference I see in those is that, like, Tariq Cohen and J.K. Dobbins are, like, a couple of spots apart. It feels like Devontae Parker and Preston Williams in your rankings, I would assume, are a pretty
10, healthy. 30 and 40.
Just interesting. I hadn't really heard you express it that way previously. So I think you want a board bet.
I have Preston Williams 35 picks ahead of ADP.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, right, and it's like I have them much closer than consensus in the industry.
All right. One more here from Daniel.
I'll do a board bet.
No, let's do it, yeah.
Let's do a board bet. I'll do Devontae Parker. Give me that.
Yeah. I say Preston Williams has the better fantasy year than Devontae Parker.
I say Devontae Parker has a better fantasy year than Preston Williams.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Certainly at the value, by the way.
Yeah.
We didn't put that into the bet, but I'm just saying, for our listeners at home and our viewers watching wherever their devices stream for them, that I believe Preston Williams is certainly the better value based on ADP.
Well, that could well be the case.
Right.
I'm also saying that I think Devontae Parker outscores him. All right, Daniel, one more here.
I understood what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
I just don't agree with it.
Got it. Fair enough. Daniel, what else?
One last more. News or noise bit here. Rams head coach Sean McVay said Monday that Daryl Henderson, with a hamstring, isn't ready to return to practice. Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic reports. Stefania, going to start with you. Is that news or noise on Daryl Henderson here?
I think it's a little bit of news. Obviously, he injured himself over a week ago. We've known that. He's been working out on the side with the rehab staff, so he is doing some work, but he is not in practice, and Sean McVay will not commit yet to him being ready to go week one.
All right, I think it's news as well, Matthew, and you know, there are coaches that subscribe to the theory, and Stefania, we'll be back to you in just a moment, of, you know, we hear about coaches describe the hot hand, right? And they want to go with the hot hand. Frank Reich has spoken about this. I think we've seen it in Philadelphia with Doug Peterson and many, many coaches.
Sure. One of the reasons why I'm on this podcast. I keep getting the hot hand.
Ah, got it. Okay, I was wondering why you're on this podcast. But if Daryl Henderson does miss time to begin the season, is there a chance that Cam Akers could run away with this job?
100%. Of course there is. The other thing that's interesting is this opens the door. It's like so much of the talk in the preseason in terms of drafting has been like Cam Akers or Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson.
I know
Henderson,
where you're
Cam
going.
Akers. What about Malcolm Brown?
I know.
Malcolm Brown is a guy that they kept from Detroit. Detroit tried to sign him. I mean, like, this is your NFL insider hat talking.
Three years,
right?
$5.4 million. They kept him. Yeah.
They kept him. Like, they paid the man. And so, I mean, I think that Malcolm Brown is somebody that they obviously, listen, they used him in goal line situations, so they trust him in key situations here. I just think Malcolm Brown, who's literally isn't being drafted, for people that are drafting in the next week, as you hear this in the news about Daryl Henderson here, which is a bit concerning, that maybe Malcolm Brown becomes an interesting late round flyer.
Hey, you
know, right? I don't know that they're ready. You tell me, but do you think Sean McVay is the type of coach that immediately says, Cam Akers, it's all you? I don't think so initially.
Well, the tantalizing part about Cam Akers, and this applied to Daryl Henderson last year, is that because we all immensely respect Sean McVay and think of him as one of the premier offensive minds in football, that 100%. When he drafts a player that he likes, which ostensibly you like a second-round running back, we're like, oh, he's a Sean McVay running back. He could be a league winner.
Yeah.
Now, last year, Daryl Henderson was, you know, supposedly one of Sean McVay's, or was one of Sean McVay's favorite players. Not supposedly, he was. He was one of his favorite prospects, and he couldn't hardly find the field, right? So sometimes these things either don't work out as planned, or they take much longer to manifest themselves. I think planting the flag is probably like too strong of a description, but like I'm firmly in team Cam Akers camp right now.
Which is fair. And by the way, like, who do I think gets the first carry of the Rams' first game? I think it's Cam Akers. And who likely winds up, I think
it might be Malcolm Brown, but I still like Cam Akers.
Fair enough. Yeah. Watch it be Malcolm Brown. Right. Exactly. Watch
Cooper
be a fullback.
Cup. Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Robert Woods on a sweep. But my point is that who do I think winds up that game with the most carries?
Yeah.
Likely Cam Akers.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree with you. This definitely opens the door for people that have invested in Cam Akers so far this year. This is, you never want to root for injury, but this is certainly good news for your guy. I'm just saying that I think that we have forgotten completely about Malcolm Brown, and I'm just saying to fantasy managers that are drafting in the next week, maybe we shouldn't.
There are games, football games, very soon around the corner, Matthew, just 12 days until our first NFL Sunday, and here's an opportunity to watch them. You tell us how you can do it.
Oh, is that for me?
That would be for you.
That's me. Oh.
It's a me, a Matthew.
Yeah. That sounded like a Pedro Alvarez voice. Hey there, football fans living in apartments in big cities. Sympathizing with all of you out here who want every live game every Sunday afternoon, but who can't get DirecTV where you live. Well, I, and only I, not Field, not Daniel, not Kyle, not Stefania, only I have good news for you. Now you can stream 2020 NFL Sunday Ticket on your favorite devices, or probably even on your unfavorite devices, like pretty much any device. No satellite is required, and you get every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. Just go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv now to see if you're eligible. Why watch only one Sunday out-of-market game when you can watch them all? Catch every game with Sunday NFLSundayTicket.tv. Again, NFLSundayTicket.tv. Use promo code ESPN2020 and you save 15%. It's important that you use that promo code so we get credit for it. Come on now. Help out your buddies here. Promo code ESPN2020 saves you 15%. at NFLSundayTicket.tv. Don't miss any of the action. Just head to NFLSundayTicket.tv today.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected 24/7 monitoring, controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. When it matters most, trust ADT. Now, more than ever, you need peace of mind with 24/7 rapid response monitoring from the leader in home security. Be an everyday hero by staying safe at home while ADT helps protect you and your loved ones. ADT has 9 owned and operated U.S.-based monitoring centers and the largest security network in the U.S. ADT takes protecting your health seriously. Rest assured, all ADT employees are taking critical measures to help protect everyone's health, including offering contactless installation and using extra protective and sanitation tools. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. So we wanted to do something right now because I think whether we're in the heat of draft season, whether we're getting close to the busiest part of the draft season, wherever we stand on that spectrum, I'm not entirely sure, but it's certainly draft season.
Do you have more drafts or less drafts this year? I feel
less.
I do too.
Yeah.
I have a lot coming up, but there's a few that haven't.
Yeah. Less this year. Yeah. And hopefully they do. And if they don't, then that's also okay. I understand there's a lot going on in the world. We hope people find fantasy football to be an outlet. But as of right now, my deck of drafts is a little bit lower, which might actually be to my benefit.
I was in 16 leagues last year, and there's a bunch of other leagues that like I help out people in, and I sort of have to keep track of those as well. But so I'm in, and I added a couple. I'm doing some crazy deep league with Mike Clay tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. So I've added a few other sort of industry leagues, but I'm still I think I'm gonna fall short of 16, which is weird for me.
Yeah, it's a different year in so many ways, obviously. But
here's a question for you. Do you think should we do a staff league? Should we do a show league? Should we do some? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay. Yeah, we'll figure something out.
Do something
post show, and maybe we can pull something together for this upcoming season. Yeah. Because we could probably all use one extra fantasy league. But
this is what I was gonna say. I forgot my train of thought, which happens. I'm old. It happens.
Barry.
He's Matthew Berry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My question was, I make this plea at the end of every draft day manifesto.
Okay.
And I made it again this year.
Good job.
I'll make it to our audience right now since this has come up, especially this year.
Okay.
Because as we agree that it feels like participation is down. You look at the Google Trends in terms of search for fantasy football, it's down. So anyone that's listening to this, you are a fantasy football player. And so my goal every year is just invite one person. I ask everyone listening to this, just invite one person that has never played before to try it this year.
Sure.
It is the only way we're going to grow the game. We need more women playing. We need more grandmas playing. We need more kids playing. You know, I ask you, if you're hearing my voice or seeing me on the internet here, find one person in your life that has never played before and invite them to a league. Let them see the joy of what we all get to do every day.
Think about that. I mean, if we could have every person that plays fantasy to add one additional person, we'd have a lot of people playing fantasy football.
Eventually, we would get to my goal of every man, woman, and child on the planet playing fantasy football.
2022, it'll be that way.
All right,
so we've got 31 minutes left in our show, Matthew, and we've got 10 draft questions. I am determined to get through all of them, so let's be mindful of the clock.
Yep.
These are not necessarily the only 10 questions heading into your draft, but these are 10 notable questions leading into your draft that are worth revisiting. Yesterday, we got news from Adam Schefter that Alvin Kamara has missed some recent practices that is tied to his contract situation. He, like Dalvin Cook, is going into the final year of his rookie contract. Both are wildly underpaid. What do the pending contract issues for both Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara do to their value?
It makes me nervous about them. Now, I haven't adjusted my ranks just yet.
Yep.
I still have, but like I think to me, CMC, Barkley, and Zeke are clear cut 1, 2, 3.
Okay, agreed.
And if at 4 you wanted to go Derrick Henry,
yep,
CEH, or Michael Thomas, I get it. Those guys make me nervous. But I would say, and people have different different thoughts on insurance. But honestly, if I invested an early round pick, a top six or seven pick on Kamara or Cook, I would absolutely reach two rounds at least to lock up Alexander Mattison if I drafted Cook, or Latavius Murray if I drafted Kamara.
Reflective of what we talked about with Mike Clay yesterday, so it's good to hear another person hammering that point home. I will just say this quickly. I'm a little bit less worried about Alvin Kamara than I am Dalvin Cook for this reason. Dalvin Cook, it felt like we got to the goal line, and then we went backwards. Right? We started taking penalties. Alvin Kamara, this is the first step in this negotiation, right? You sit out a couple practices, you put the heat on the team a little bit. The Saints tend to get motivated to get deals done. They're very, very nifty with the salary cap, so a little bit less nervous on Alvin Kamara, but I think that's a major question mark, and I agree with your assessment.
I agree with that as well for one other reason as well that you didn't mention there. I mean, you know, you're in the weeds on all the contract stuff, and you deal with agents and team personnel as part of your NFL insider role here for the company. But the other thing is, just think about this. Drew Brees is 40. Like, his window's closing. Like, this may be Drew Brees' last year. Like, if they're going to win a Super Bowl, they got to do it now. And so they need, if they're going to win a Super Bowl this year, Alvin Kamara has to be a big part of that. And so my belief is that the management and ownership of the Saints understand that they have a small window here. It's the same thing that with Zeke. Like, yep. Jerry Jones was like, you know, I think we have a window here and I want to get this done. And so I think they would be motivated for that as well.
All right, so second question here is, what if Derrick Henry is more involved in the passing game? And he took a little bit of a bump last year. And I know this is going to sound still like peanuts when you've got guys like Christian McCaffrey catching 100-plus passes a year. But in 2019, he ran nearly 11 routes per game, up from 6.7 the year before. He caught 1.6 catches or passes per game. That was up from 1.1, so 8 additional catches last year. And then nearly 5 yards more per reception last year. So I'm not sure exactly how to qualify or quantify more involved in the passing game is, but let's say that he goes up by 10 receptions this year. Is that enough to catapult him to 4, even if Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara sign extensions today?
Certainly, potentially. So I have coming out later this week is my annual 10 lists of 10 column, right. And mm-hmm. one of my lists this year is 10 what-if scenarios. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my what-if scenarios. Like, what if Derrick Henry is more involved in the passing game?
Yeah.
Think about Darrington Evans, their rookie that they drafted. He's missed 6 practices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Deion Lewis is on the Giants, you know, for people that weren't paying attention to, you know, minor offseason transactions. Like, I don't know that you feel great about any pass-catching running back on the Titans roster at the moment. Like, so I think there's a legit chance that Derrick Henry is more involved in the passing game. And if Derrick Henry is more, I don't know about 10 passes, but if Derrick Henry catches, I don't know, 20 more passes, 25 more passes, like, he's right there with Zeke. Like, he's got he's potentially number one running back in football. Like, yeah. I think it would still be CMC, and CEH is in that mix. And like, all those guys going there, like, wouldn't shock me if Barkley or Zeke or, you know, Cook or Kamara, if they play all 16 games, finishes the number one. But he's in that mix. Derrick Henry is.
I think 20 extra catches definitely puts him right there in that mix for potentially the top running back in football. But it's one of those things that, like, we would like to see it.
Sure.
And maybe the Titans would say they like to see it as well, but until we see it, right? I mean, we don't have any proof that it's going to necessarily happen. I think that that's probably the reason why he nets out is around the 6th running back drafted in fantasy this year. Quarterbacks, as we've talked about forever, since the beginning of time until the end of time, should be a position that you wait on in fantasy football. But how soon do Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes actually go in your drafts, and what impact does that have on how you draft or potentially, well, how does it impact what you do with your quarterback spot? How does their, not ADP, but their actual spot impact your strategy?
It doesn't, honestly, for me. Like, you know, I sort of have my board and I let the draft come to me. And so I have Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes as third round picks. If they're there in the middle of the third round, I'll take them.
Mm-hmm.
They are most likely not. I've yet to be in a draft where they have. And somebody... Right.
They'll be gone. Yep.
In most quote-unquote normal drafts, which is to say a draft that isn't filled with industry experts that are all trying to look sharp for fans or that have weird scoring, but in a standard 10-team or 12-team league where you draft one quarterback, someone in the first or second round is going to take a stab at Mahomes and Jackson. And so for me, like, I will wait. And
do you think you're going to end up with 0 shares of them then in redraft leagues? Not like, you know,
yeah,
funky
scoring?
Yeah, I mean,
scoring. Like, I have Lamar Jackson in a keeper league and a 14-team keeper league. I have Patrick Mahomes
right,
in a dynasty league. Right,
so redraft
in redraft leagues,
only.
I think I probably have, yeah, I think I probably have 0 shares of him. Although, in a deeper league, like, you know, listen, I'm picking 16 in the War Room League. Mm. Who knows? If Mahomes is sitting there, like maybe I'll do something weird. I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet.
McCaffrey could be there. Might change your opinion a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think McCaffrey's going to be there.
Gotcha.
Although Lou Riddick is picking one and it said CEH is his number one pick. So we'll see.
As someone who has the third pick in the draft.
CMC might draft to drop to awesome. Two, at least in that league. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Again, I have pick three, so I hope
he
does.
Three. Yeah. You got to talk to
Actually,
Camby.
Really, I think Stefania has pick four, who really would like that to happen, because obviously that opens up a huge opportunity for the fourth pick.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But anyway, at any rate, but the fact is that
They're probably going too far ahead of where we like them, and it probably doesn't impact your strategy then, right? Like, you'll probably end up evaluating, you know, if Dak falls to you in the top of the fifth, I'm in, right?
Or
Kyler Murray in the fifth, or
Kyler Murray in the sixth, you know, Watson or Wilson in the sixth or seventh. That's a great range for those guys. And then you get even later, and you can get a Matt Ryan or a Tom Brady, ninth, you know, tenth. And so,
just as part of that conversation, Patrick Mahomes is going 13th overall for ADP and ESPN. Lamar Jackson's going 19th.
Kind
overall.
Of incredible. It's really incredible, Daniel. And I don't know, but it was big. Not, it's really not weird. You know why?
Why?
Because we have the most dedicated, loyal audience I can possibly imagine. It's awesome. Love the fans and love how dedicated they are and how much they follow our advice closely.
Sure.
But as we know, a lot of people who play fantasy football are not sort of meticulously combing through every bit of draft advice and rankings and news and all that. And Patrick Mahomes is arguably the face of football. He probably is the face of the NFL now, right? He's the highest paid player, et cetera. Like, we all know Patrick Mahomes. People are drafting Patrick Mahomes because they know that he's the greatest player in the NFL right now. And some people still don't understand the disconnect between fantasy value and real life value.
Lamar Jackson has insane real life value as well.
Totally. I'm saying, yes, they both do. They both do. But again,
$500 million contract this offseason.
But Matthew, in the same way that
this offseason.
Right.
Well,
he will get one.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the same way that Christian McCaffrey's value to the Carolina Panthers franchise changed this offseason when he started making $16 million per year as opposed to $3 million per year, right? And that's not a slight towards Christian McCaffrey, but he goes from the best discount in football to the highest paid running back in football. Fantasy football, people are going to draft based off name. Patrick Mahomes is going to go much earlier than I think either you or I is comfortable with. We got another question here. This one goes to Stefania because it's very much injury-based. So, Stefania, I bring up two names. A.J. Green and Julian Edelman, these are players who have top 10 credentials in the sense that they've been top 10 wide receivers before, but they aren't being drafted anywhere close to as such. What kind of value is there, and what kind of concerns might you have for either player who have had some injuries on their career resume?
I think A.J. Green's the most obvious when you're talking about the injury concern, and it's legitimate. It's justified. He has had seasons terminated early because of injury in the last 5 years. And if we start with last year, he was coming into the season, coming off toe surgery, and then back out in practice the first day, ends up injuring his ankle and is never able to come back. Then you fast forward to this year, he comes in great shape. Everything's positive, and then he gets a little hamstring tightness, and all of a sudden he's out of practice. Now, the good news is, for this year, A.J. Green wanted to come back the very next day, and it was Zach Taylor who held him out and was like, no, you know, pump the brakes. We want to save him for later as it gets closer to the season. But I do think it's fair that people are concerned, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the last handful of seasons, in 2016, he tore his hamstring, was limited to 10 games. In 2017, he came back and played all 16. In 2018, he injured his toe and he was limited to 9 games. And then, as we know, he did not play at all in 2019. So if you look at the pattern, soft tissue injuries that cost him a great deal of time, but he has come back and bounced back well, particularly from the hamstring tear. And I also want to point out the hamstring injury this year, the tweak or the minor strain, whatever you want to call it, that was on the opposite side from the one he tore. So I like A.J. Green this year, but I think there's definite risk involved because you can't ignore the history. As far as Julian Edelman, I think part of the concern has to do with just the entire change in the offense, and the quarterback who used to love to throw it to him isn't there. Yes, Edelman's had some injury issues, but he's always come back strong, and they've resolved completely. There's not really a health concern other than just his age and wear and tear coming into this year.
All right, Stefania, we'll be back to you in just a moment. Matthew, those two players, you have the opportunity to draft one of them and maybe even slightly ahead of cost. Are you doing it, and which one?
Yes, and why do I have to pick?
Ooh. Oh, so you do both. Okay, gotcha.
I have no problem with, I have no problem with both. I like what Stefania said. I think Edelman might be the better value for two reasons. Number one is I think he's going lower in the ADP.
He is. Early 10th versus late 8th for AJ Green. So he's a, 15
he's a
spots
better value. He has less competition for targets. I mean, you know, we've already heard the reports of Joe Burrow, you know, having a connection with Tyler Boyd, and we know exactly how good Burrow was to Justin Jefferson in the slot at LSU. And so that's an area where he's comfortable. And they've also got, you know, whatever, John Ross and Auden Tate and Joe Mixon out of the backfield. I mean, whatever. A.J. Green's going to lead that team in targets. But still, like, there's more guys there. Whereas on the Patriots, like, you've got, you're hoping you get something out of N'Keal Harry, and you got the, you know, I guess Muhammad Sanu, and, like, you know, does Jacoby Meyer show up? Like, I, you know what I mean? I know it just feels like that offense is definitely going to run through Julian Edelman, right? And, you know, at we'll see what Joe Burrow is, but I don't think you can feel like Joe Burrow is significantly ahead of Cam Newton at this point of their NFL careers, you know, as a quarterback. And so I think Edelman is the better value. He's less of an injury concern, if you just heard what Stefania said there. Yeah. And he's been a top 10 wide receiver more recently. He was
last year.
Right.
Yeah.
No. So, but by the way, I think both guys are really interesting flyers to me. Like, again, like, you can get AJ Green in the 8th and Edelman in the 10th. Like, one, all you need is one of those guys to pop, and you only need one to do it every week. And not even, like, because neither of those guys can be starting wide receivers for you when you leave the draft. And so the upside on both guys is massive.
I'm just surprised that how fleeting it feels in many people's eyes or minds for either of those players to end up as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver this year, given the recent success that you just referenced for Julian Edelman and AJ Green being AJ Green over 80 yards per game through 111 outings in his career. All right, we're going to come back.
I think you pointed this out before, and I want to just bring this back up since we're talking about AJ Green. AJ Green is in the final year of his deal, wants to get paid. He's 31 years old. He's got the injury history. And so there is motivation to prove, hey, I can still be an elite wide receiver in this league. I can still, I'm deserving of one last big deal.
Well, remember that last year, people say, well, he was last year as well. The difference is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow last year was the franchise tag. He played zero games, he still got franchised. This year, this offseason, if he plays well, there is no franchise tag coming. I can't imagine they would double tag a player at $23 million or whatever it would be. Maybe I'm wrong there, but it seems a lot less likely he is motivated for that contract. We have six more questions I left, I believe, but we're going to go to Stefania first before we attack the back half of our pressing questions.
Did you know, Field, that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Cisco to make you breakfast in bed?
I would love that.
With Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, it's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to GEICO. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
All righty, and Daniel, passing it over to you now.
Field, what if a quarterback completed 4 out of his 5 passes?
That would be 80% and good.
Or a point guard hitting 4 of his shots behind the arc.
I would call him Steph Curry.
I would also. Well, now, when you're hiring, you can play at that level because 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And today, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for the right candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter's AI scouts talent for you. First, when you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it sends out over 100 job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology learns what you're looking for, then identifies people with the right skills and experience, and it invites them to apply to your job. That way you get quality candidates fast. And now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
Right back to Stefania because, again, Alshon Jeffery Jr. That was unkind. I shouldn't say that. But a player that has some Alshon vibes in terms of how frequently we ask Stefania
about
it.
Wait, did Field just make a joke?
No.
Did he just make a joke?
He dipped his toe in the joke water, and then he was just like, ah, you know what? A little too cold. I'm going to go back out.
A little icy.
I'm going to go sit down next.
Bad. I thought it was
I'm going to sit down next to Chapin and pet Cisco. And
I miss them dearly.
On my sip on my craft beer.
Okay, that sounds delightful. Is it too early? It's only 10:45.
Can we trade that in right now?
That's exactly what it is.
So Will Fuller is a player we frequently ask Stefania about, which was what I was trying to get to. Stefania, what if Will Fuller stays healthy for 16 games? Like, how likely is that to happen?
Well, if he does field, it'll be the first time in his career. Check this out.
So
2016, he played 14 games. Not bad. 2017, 10 games. 2018, 7 games. And last year, 2019, 11 games. And it's not just the 11 games. We talked about A.J. Green, his torn hamstring. He tore the hamstring week 10. We never saw him again. With Will Fuller, in terms of fantasy value, here's what's concerning. He was out, missed time from week 8 to 11. There was a bye week mixed in there. Came back, played week 12 and 13. Out again week 14. Back for 15 and 16. And then out for the last regular season game because he was never fully 100%. And that's more of the issue if he gets hurt, is that he's tried to play through it, which you admire, but it makes it really tough from fantasy purposes. When healthy, there's no denying the talent, but he comes in with an extensive soft tissue injury history. He had core muscle surgery in the offseason in January. Now, the good news is he showed up, and they all say that he was stronger. He worked on his strength and conditioning. He's obviously aware of his injury history, and he's trying to do something about it, all of which is admirable. But Bill O'Brien said he was on a unique ramp-up program, which means they're still treating him as someone they're concerned about as far as injury risk. So you have to factor that in alongside the talent when you head into this year.
All right, Stefania, excellent insight there. But here's the good news, is I can do math reasonably well on occasion. And Will Fuller's wide receiver ADP is 35th. Julian Edelman is 34th. And Edelman's going in the early 10th, which means that Will Fuller is going no sooner than the early 10th. So, Matthew, this is the reason why. I will say this until the cows come
home. Baked into the ADP.
And take running backs early. You can get Will Fuller, a potential top, I don't know, 12. Top 12 wide receiver. If he stays healthy for 16 games and balls out, number one wide receiver, playing for a contract in an offense when he catches passes from Deshaun Watson, heck yeah. Like, I'll roll the dice again. I know that I've been fooled four times with Will Fuller. I'll make it a nice round even five because that's how good of a player he is.
He really can be special.
Can be,
and then again, this is another one of my what if questions in my 10 list of 10 that'll be coming out later this week. And yeah, I mean, again, the risk is baked into the ADP. And so you honestly don't even need him for all 16 games. Just, you know, when he's healthy, you're starting him. The concern on Will Fuller, honestly, and Stefania sort of mentioned this a little bit, which is that there's a little bit of Matt Breida to Will Fuller's game. And by that, I mean the fact is that Will Fuller, in addition to missing games due to injury, he feels like he leaves games early due to injury, which is, I feel like, kind of what happens with Matt Breida a lot. And so that's, you know, that's obviously disappointing and frustrating. But again, it's costing you a 9th or 10th round pick, and the upside is so massive. And on an offense where there's, you know, well over 100 targets up for grabs now with DeAndre Hopkins now in Arizona. So yeah, I'm in on Will Fuller at his ADP.
Yeah, you know, Will Fuller kind of reminds me of in some ways.
What's that?
It sort of reminds me of like one of those hot hand basketball players, like Eric Gordon, go for 50 tonight,
right?
Or Jamal Crawford, he scored 50 this year. Like the guy is like 38 years old, or like before the bubble, Devin Booker, where you're like, you know, he can do it. It's just a matter of doing it consistently. But I think the talent certainly is there, and it's a great offense. Yeah. So there is certainly some value there in the 10th round. We got to keep moving.
There's an obscure Jerry Reed song. When you're hot, you're hot.
And that's Will Fuller.
That's Will Fuller.
Will Fuller, it's
when
hot.
When you're hot, you're hot. Shout out to Jerry Reed, to anyone my age. That
I was going
to
say, that one, Jerry Reed, I'm not the music buff here, but...
No, he's an obscure, not obscure, obscure.
Crappy
he's
band. He's a crappy no band you've never heard of.
Oh, he's a...
No, he's just... Finally pulled you over to the dark side.
He's whatever. He's an older artist. He's fun. He's like a country music guy. Like, anyway, Jerry Reed's fun.
You're calling someone.
You're hot. You're hot.
Anyways,
you're not.
Three backfields, and I think there's different dynamics involved in each one of them. How are you approaching them? And let's rip through them one by one. We start with the Colts, Matthew. You get this one, and I'll go for the Ravens next.
I'm approaching them very trepidatiously, right?
Okay.
I mean, I think like Marlon Mack might be the best value.
Yeah.
I mean, because Jonathan Taylor, who I love as a talent, but Jonathan Taylor is going in the 6th round. Marlon Mack's going in the 14th. I think Jonathan Taylor's the better player. I think Jonathan Taylor winds up with more fantasy points, and I think eventually he wins that backfield. But they've been very clear. Marlon Mack is the starter, at least initially. Now, the other concern on Marlon Mack is he's missed multiple games in every NFL season he's ever played in. And so when you think about the fact that Nyheim Hines isn't going away, that he's going to be a third down back and get a lot of passes from Philip Rivers, I think this is going to be a very good NFL backfield and probably a very frustrating fantasy one.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, the Jonathan Taylor argument is probably like ceiling and floor. The floor is not like low, like not even usable in fantasy, but just a reminder that a player that in college, dominant runner,
dominant,
became a better pass catcher during his, or a more utilized pass catcher during his final year at Wisconsin, has one major red flag. He fumbled way too much. And the two indicators that make me just a little bit nervous are that, you know, if you're not catching passes and you got a short leash because of your fumbles, well, then Marlon Mack might remain around and he might remain around for full 16 games. And that might be enough for Jonathan Taylor to go from potential top 15 running back to a guy that sort of floats more in the, you know, not LeGarrette Blount range where he was scoring touchdowns, but that was the only way he got value. But, you know, a guy that is more touch, maybe Jordan Howard-like in Philly in his final year in Chicago than what he is, what we maybe envision Jonathan Taylor could become down the line. Just right away, that could be the value. For the Ravens, we've sort of hammered this backfield a lot. We all have Mark Ingram ranked ahead of J.K. Dobbins. But J.K. Dobbins feels like free money in some ways, right? Yeah. His value right now is the 11th round, his ADP, 34th amongst running backs. Mark Ingram is eighth round, which actually feels like a pretty reasonable value to me as well, Matthew. So we don't always advocate for drafting both running backs in a backfield. But this my approach, speaking generally, is that like if I take Mark Ingram, I'm definitely considering J.K. Dobbins. If I don't have Mark Ingram on my roster, I'm still definitely considering J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and his ADP has risen. I mean, I feel like I've been banging the J.K. Dobbins drum for a while now, and he was in my love list on Love Hate, which is on ESPN.com. Of course, I'm a company man. We got the drops now.
Yeah.
But anyway, like if anyone watching, you can see it on the screen, is that his ADP is running back 39. I'm at 36, as do you, Field. So we both have him slightly higher than the consensus. And I'm just saying in terms of draft strategy, he's a guy that I would love to target in those, you know, in that late round, that eighth, ninth round where he's going.
Sure.
Ingram's fine. You know what I mean? Ingram's somebody that also I think is people are like worried about him, but like they love Mark Ingram in that locker room. If he's healthy, he's going to be their starter and he's going to get a lot of work.
Yeah, I agree on that. He's certainly it's a very good point in the locker room. Never forget how important the locker room is to how a player is utilized. I know that's a hard thing for us to quantify, but we want to just kick these lesser talents to the curb. Hey, they're not as good as so-and-so.
He's not that used stuff to the passing matters. Game. I get it. But
they're going to use him. Adrian Peterson's the poster child for that. Yeah, they are going to use Adrian Peterson a lot in Washington because he is arguably their best leader right now until that is something that Dwayne Haskins or Alex Smith takes over. All right, last one here, Matthew, is the Bucs backfield. We've talked about them a ton again. Right now, Ronald Jones is going the early ninth round. I've got him outside my top 30. You and Daniel both have him at 29. I really believe there's a chance that there is a fantasy asset in this backfield. There almost always is when Tom Brady is the quarterback. I just don't have a great feel on it. I think it's Ronald Jones, but there are also some warning signs against Ronald Jones. We've tried this for back-to-back years.
Yeah, look, I sort of look at the competition. So Keyshawn Vaughn has missed some time. Doesn't feel like he's ready from prime time if you sort of read the camp reports yet. So, you know, the initial report is that I think it's going to be Ronald Jones and LeSean McCoy on third downs, at least initially. And so I think Ronald Jones at the moment, and Tampa Bay has been rumored as one of the many potential Leonard Fournette landing spots,
right,
which would complicate this backfield, obviously.
Won't be classic.
But I think as of the moment, I think Ronald Jones has the best path to potential fantasy relevance in this backfield.
Yep.
He's going to get the first shot.
I would think so as well.
He's definitely going to get the first shot. So I'm at running back 29. His ADP is, you know, 30. So
right. I guess that the argument against Ronald Jones is that if it's like not him and only him, is that like people will say, like, well, they're going to score a lot of touchdowns. They scored a lot of touchdowns last year, right? Like that wasn't the problem in Tampa Bay.
Right.
It just wasn't. And I know that they may have a chance to run the ball more effectively this year. But if there are all those touchdowns scored last year and Ronald Jones couldn't be fantasy relevant week to week, some things are going to have to change for this year. Let's get through maybe one or two more if we can.
Look, and I've talked about this. I think Tom Brady takes all those cheap touchdowns away. I think he throws for him, which is
stealing
one of the
them.
I'm in on Ronald Brady. Jones. Yes, sir. Daniel Dopp raising his hand.
Nope.
What do you got?
He was just saying, let's get to the next question.
Yeah, that's all I was saying. And
what if late season Tyler Higbee is the real Tyler Higbee? And as a reminder, Vegas had the over-under at 5.5 questions. We have sailed past the over here, making some people some money in the great city of Las Vegas. Top overall fantasy players last year, Matthew, from weeks 13 to 17, so a 5-week sample size. Tyler Higbee, was eighth behind the likes of Christian McCaffrey, Drew Brees, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, and others. What if last season, late down the stretch, is who he is? Is that possible?
It is possible, and especially when you think about the fact that Brandon Cooks is no longer with the Rams, mm-hmm. and so, you know, Sean McVay likes to have three pass catchers, you know, and so early on in his Rams coaching career, he would go three wide, but down the stretch last year, the third pass catcher was Tyler Higbee.
It was, might have been, you know, Woods
and my little Cooper Kupp and Higbee, and they would go two tight end sets. And so Higbee, remember, is somebody that Sean McVay drafted. He was drafted in the Sean McVay regime, unlike Gerald Everett, who he sort of inherited. And so, you know, if Higbee is the guy that he was last year, we're all undervaluing him, and he's a massive steal for whoever gets him. It's weird because you think about this. We all, small sample size on Kenyon Drake last year is dominant. Everyone's in on him as a top 10 running back. Small sample size on Miles Sanders. Everyone's in on him.
Yeah.
You know, Austin Eckler,
difference is just the running back, the position they play. Like, it's just a lot easier to feed a running back carries as you design.
I understand, but if we're playing the small sample size game here for a second, like, I don't think people understand he was the eighth best player in all of fantasy football.
Absurd.
Not the eighth best tight end, not the eighth best pass catcher, the eighth best. Quarterbacks included, the eighth best player in fantasy football from week 13 on last year.
Right. He was absurd. So Tyler Higbee, a guy that could maybe, that he would be cementing himself in that top trio of tight ends. He would make it maybe a four or five or even six pack of dominant tight ends that you every single week feel like you have a decided edge against your opponent. All right. Good job. We made it through seven questions. I guess
One of the 10 list of 10 questions.
Okay, good. All right. We'll get through more questions, I'm sure. We've got, again, regular season starts 9 days from right now. So we still got a bunch of shows before Chiefs and Texans kick off.
And if you are cramming for a draft between now and then, why not buy a RotoPass?
I can't RotoPass.com.
Like, it's got draft software. It's got customized ranks. Everything you need to dominate your draft, including a subscription to ESPN+. Plus, many great sites, one low price. The promo code 06010 gets you 10% off at RotoPass.com. Cram for your test.
All right, we have a Geico trivia. We are back. Kyle Sopi is here to make us all humbled, make us look like morons, make me realize I know nothing about football, even though it's my livelihood. And Daniel's going to read it on Kyle's behalf.
That's right. Unfortunately, the bunker's having some power issues. Kyle is on what we have as like a little rotation or hamster wheel to try and get some electricity back
into
it.
The old Dan Patrick and Lance Armstrong like commercial, right?
Exactly. So, all right, here we go. Geico trivia question of the day. Clinton Portis turns 39 today. Period. That's a statement.
Okay.
He opened his career with consecutive seasons of 1,500 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns, and 30 receptions. Who is the only other player in NFL history with such a streak? I'll say it one more time for those at home. Clinton Portis opened his career with consecutive seasons of 1,500 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns, and 30 receptions. Who is the only other player in NFL history to have such a streak?
All right, really good question. Let's go to Stefania. Did you hear the question, Stefania? Do you have an answer?
I did, but I'm a little confused as to whether it means somebody who had to open their career the same way or they just had two random seasons.
I'm assuming it is they opened their career that way. No, it is two random seasons.
Oh man, okay.
Wow.
No, consecutive.
See?
He opened his career with consecutive seasons of 1,500 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns, and 30 receptions. Who's the only other player in NFL history with such a streak?
Opening the career has nothing to do with that. Sorry, that was I'll talk to Kyle when he gets power back. I'll talk to Kyle.
No.
Who's your guess?
Kyle, anytime Thirsty Kyle can say it in 10 words, he takes 30.
All right, Kyle, what do you got for the answer, Stefania? Who's your guess?
I don't have one. I was debating what the question was.
White flag.
For the record, anytime you can say something in 10 words, I take 50.
Right.
So just to be clear, before I throw Kyle under the bus too much, I'm just
all right. Like, we got 1 minute left in the show, Matthew.
I guessed.
I think you got a
LaShawn McCoy.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Okay, Stefania on the record with LaShawn McCoy. Matthew on the record with LaDainian Tomlinson. I think that's right. I went with Barry Sanders because I was thinking early season success.
Ooh.
Maybe we're all wrong.
Yeah.
Daniel?
No, I do not have a guess. Kyle, the answer officially is Larry Johnson.
Wow.
Grandma grandmama came over from the NBA, used to play for the Charlotte Hornets.
Kansas City Chief Larry Johnson.
That guy. Penn State, his dad's still a very successful coach at the Ohio State University. We are coming back on Wednesday with more information. It's draft season. As Matthew mentioned, go to RotoPass. Go to ESPN.com. The draft kit is being updated daily. Go read Jordan Ronan's story about Saquon Barkley as well.
Yeah, exactly. Sign up to play a league. Invite somebody that's ever played before and do it on ESPN.com. New episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus later today. And for @FieldYates on the gram and Twitter, for @DanielDopp on the Twitter, I'm @MatthewBerryTMR on all forms of social media, except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely @MatthewBerry. We're back tomorrow. Peace out, my friend. You're an 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead. Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could. Jailbait,
Field Yates. You're terrible at #improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.